Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Philip Longman, who's a senior fellow at the Washington Monthly and the New America Foundation, as well as the author of Best Care Anywhere, Why VA Healthcare Would Work Better for Everyone, now in its third edition. Welcome to Background Briefing, Philip Longman.
Great to be here, Ian.
And last week you testified before the United States Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs. Where was the scandal burgeoning now then, and were you addressing that, or was the committee looking into that?
Yes, it was a committee held to investigate the allegations about cooking the books on scheduling of appointments for veterans.
But your book and your testimony basically is talking about how the VA health system is a good model. It works, and it's furthermore a good model for the rest of America. So how do you reconcile all of the recriminations coming back and forth now over the wait times and cooking the books and mm-hmm. the basic thesis of your book?
Well, important question to ask always when things come up about the VA is compared to what? So we have a problem here in the VA, and people are looking into it. But, you know, we have to remember that the U.S. healthcare system as a whole is extremely dangerous and unsafe. So that, you know, a standard estimate now is that due to medical errors, unnecessary or avoidable hospital infections and other forms of bad medicine, we're losing about 250,000 people a year, which makes contact with the U.S. healthcare system the third leading cause of death in the United States, after all cancer and all heart disease. So when you're aware of how lethal our healthcare system is as a whole, the context of maybe 40 veterans having died while on some waiting list takes on a different cast. So if you were at the hearings, you would have heard one veterans group after another come up and extol the virtues of VA healthcare, whether they were talking about the American Legions or any of the other groups. What they will say, and I agree with it, is that we do have a problem with access to care. There's too much paperwork and red tape involved in establishing eligibility, and we need to work on that. But for those, for the vets that get into VA healthcare, it literally is best care anywhere by all kinds of different metrics. So that's my basic take on this. That we have work to do, but we still, the rest of the healthcare system really has a lot to learn from the VA.
So, Philip Longman, then, is this more of a political issue than a real public health problem? I mean, it's sort of reminiscent, the calls for the Obama White House to fire General Shinseki, similar to the calls for him to fire Kathleen Sebelius after the botched launch of healthcare.gov. And mm-hmm. it does seem that the president is somewhat caught by surprise by a bureaucracy that he doesn't seem to control or be aware of its deficiencies.
Mm-hmm. Well, the VA managers have received warnings from different quarters over the years that the scheduling issue was a problem. You would like to think that they would have been able to solve it, but the context here is the VA, unlike the rest of the U.S. healthcare system, actually pays attention to the quality of its healthcare and tries to develop metrics. And guess what? In a great giant organization with 270,000 employees, some people try and game those metrics. And that's what's happened here, whether it's happened in just isolated incidents or more broadly, still need to be investigated. But it's a problem that in any institution, when you say, here are your performance measures, here's how we're going to evaluate you, certain people will try and game that system. So you need to come up with some kind of check and balance against that, or just tolerate a certain amount of gaming. Again, though, outside of the VA, most healthcare systems don't make any effort at all to manage their scheduling times. So most people in most places in the United States would have to wait weeks or months to find a primary care doctor who's still taking new patients. You know, we have a pandemic problem of doctor shortages throughout the American healthcare system. So again, you know, it comes down to the question of compared to what. I personally don't know enough to be able to say whether General Szczepanski should resign. I think he's very much in earnest in trying to solve this problem, and I think he is trying to solve it. It's a difficult one to solve.
So in your testimony before the United States Senate Committee on Veterans Affairs last week, May the 14th, Philip Longman, you mentioned here that the Veterans Benefit Administration must accept blame for not doing better job of streamlining administrative procedures. But in all fairness, it is the Congress, and by extension the American people as a whole, who have established the laws that require most vets to prove that they have service-related disabilities before becoming eligible for VA care. So explain that further.
Well, I'm glad you brought that out. So for many, many years, for example, people who fought in Vietnam, when they came home and developed various ailments, would have to prove that those ailments were somehow related to service in Vietnam. A lot of them, you know, were exposed to Agent Orange, the defoliant that was used there. And it took a long time for the science to come in and definitively establish that, for example, exposure to Agent Orange would bring on early onset Parkinson's disease. Right? 30 years later, the science finally came in to establish that, yes, indeed, when you're exposed to Agent Orange, you're quite likely to develop Parkinson's disease in your 50s and 60s. We spent just inordinate amounts of time and all kinds of heartache forcing vets to prove that, for example, their Parkinson's disease was a result of exposure to Agent Orange. And after all, how do you prove a thing like that? How do you prove that, oh, yes, it was this day 30 years ago, I was walking in the jungles of Vietnam and a mist came down upon me, and that's why I have Parkinson's disease today. Every day we have the administrative courts here in Washington, D.C., are filled with cases of a kind like a veteran has hearing loss. Is it because of the artillery fire he was exposed to during the Vietnam War or Korea? Or is it because of all the Who concerts you listened to in the 1960s? You know, it's just a sort of ridiculous question that nobody could adjudicate, even if they knew all the facts. And yet, we force veterans to try and prove these kind of things. So it would be much better if we just had a system that says, you know what, if you served your country, thank you, here's your health care. And that actually is how the VA has worked for different periods in its over time. But right now, we're still in the mode of forcing veterans to prove things that are essentially unprovable about whether their maladies are a result of service-related illness or not.
Well, as bad as that is, Philip Longman, it would seem that the more recent wars like Iraq and Afghanistan, because of improvements to emergency medicine and battlefield medicine, more and more severely wounded people are surviving, certainly infinitely more than happened in World War II, for example.
Right.
And these are injuries that are manifest. You know, people have lost limbs and half of their head blown off. That must be the most expensive care imaginable. Is that what's happening, that so much of the resources are now going to these new injuries?
Actually, you'd be surprised how little money that costs, because there's so few individuals affected. I mean,
that's true. The casualties are
a horrible number, right? But,
yeah. But
if you went into a VA hospital today, anywhere in the country, maybe 7% of the patients there would even be veterans of the war in Iraq or Afghanistan. most of the people are much older. They're World War II vets, Korean vets. Right. So first of all, just in terms of who's in the hospital, that's not a load. I've visited many polytrauma units around the VA system where there's plenty of space. It's incredibly expensive to deal with someone who's a quadriplegic, and it's a very high specialty care, and yes, it costs a lot of money, but that's not the reason we're having these scheduling problems at all, in terms of either crowding out money or time or facilities or anything like that. We will, though, we have a lot of people presenting with things, traumatic brain injury, where, a lot of guys come home and they don't even, they know maybe that they suffered some kind of concussion, say from a landmine, right? But at the time they felt fine, right? Or they bounced back fairly well. And the symptoms of that only show up much, much later. Basically, you're talking about many hairline fractures and capillaries in the skull. We don't really know much about the science at all. So now, to say to those guys 15 years from now, oh, well, you present with mental illness. Is that because of this traumatic brain illness, or is that just because of life's been unfair to you or some genetic thing? I mean, again, this is like a ridiculous thing to put a veteran through, right? Why are you an alcoholic at age 50? Is it because this, that, or the other thing? Is it service-related or not? Who knows, right? So that's why we need to really open up this system. The good news is that by basically every metric, the quality of care in the system for those who are getting it is higher than outside the system. It's also more cost-effective. So the more people we can get being treated in the VA as opposed to the rest of the system, the more money we save and the more people get high-quality care. So it really should be a no-brainer. But we do get distracted by these kind of scandals and get blown out a lot of proportion, and people want to use them to make ideological points about how socialized medicine can't work and like that.
The Republicans are always looking for ways to beat up on Obama and the Democrats, whether it's Fast and Furious or the Benghazi phony scandal or the IRS phony scandal. So it's not surprising they're jumping on this. But what mechanism exists within the VA that makes these decisions that essentially says to the vet, we're not sure you're telling us the truth, and prove that you were doused by Agent Orange in Vietnam and prove that the IED that blew up your vehicle has caused your brain damage. So, in other words, why...
What mechanisms do we have for that?
Yeah, I guess the motive behind it is, let me put it another way. How many vets show up that are just trying to game the system?
Who have illnesses that aren't related to...
In other words, why have this screening procedure? It assumes that you have a problem, that people are lying to you. And my understanding is that people aren't lying to them. They're just making people jump through hoops unnecessarily.
Well, I think that's right. And in the case of... I profiled a poor guy who was out in Fargo, North Dakota. He worked in a... He'd been in Vietnam. He'd been exposed to Agent Orange. At age 58, he developed Parkinson's disease. The new literature suggested that exposure to Agent Orange was associated with early onset Parkinson's disease. He presented to the VA hospital in Fargo, and the bureaucrats there told him, "Well, didn't you work in a chemical factory all your years since Vietnam? Maybe it's the chemicals in the chemical factory that caused your Parkinson's." And so he had to litigate that. Now, the good news on Parkinson's and Agent Orange is the same General Senzeki, out of the VA, has changed the rules as of, I think, about 2 years ago. So now there's a presumption that if you were in Vietnam and you were exposed to Agent Orange, if you were in Vietnam and you now have Parkinson's disease, there's a presumption that that is because of exposure to Agent Orange and you have eligibility to VA health care. And that, by the way, is something that is crowding the VA, all these guys now with Parkinson's who are now able to come into the VA. But that's an example of the kind of thing we need to do more of, right, is to say, look, let's use our resources actually treating folks instead of trying to answer these kind of metaphysical questions about what particular disease of aging is the one that is related to your military service or not. And I don't think there's a lot of cheating.
Right.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm assuming there isn't. I just don't understand why these bureaucratic impediments are put in place. Just in closing then, Philip Longman, back to the scandal du jour, do you think that, given the sort of election year politics and the fact that the Republicans, people like Daryl Issa don't do anything else but try and manufacture scandals, that there'll be any value to these latest inquiries? I mean, all of the Obama people are saying how outraged they are, et cetera, and they've made that pretty clear. But on the so I guess the question is, is anything good going to come from this?
Well, I think some good can come from this. It's unlike, in my opinion, say Fast and Furious, that this is a real scandal, right? Or has every appearance of it, in that it's every appearance that some people in the field did some very bad things, including criminally negligent things. And some people may need to go to jail for this, right? But if we can root those people out of the system, that's good. And if we can come up with safeguards that prevent that kind of cheating in the future, or have a more nuanced understanding of how best to manage people so that we don't sort of coerce them into gaming the system, this would be VA employees, right? That's all good that can come out of this. But what will be bad is if people think, that just goes to show you what happens when government gets involved in healthcare, right? Because the larger context is that the VA is outperforming the rest of the U.S. healthcare system by leaps and bounds, and we need to make the rest of the healthcare system more like the VA rather than assuming that its occasional shortfalls prove anything large. Just remember, your local hospital, there's no inspector general mm-hmm. overlooking your local hospital. There's no committees of Congress that overlook your local hospital. There's no broad-based citizens organizations, comparable to the American Legion, that overlook your local hospital. VA gets all kinds of incredible public scrutiny, right? And yes, stuff gets revealed that way. But you're much safer at the VA than you would be away from where that scrutiny is everywhere.
Well, Philip Longman, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. And again, I've been speaking with Philip Longman, who's a senior fellow at the Washington Monthly and the New America Foundation, as well as the author of Best Care Anywhere, Why VA Healthcare Would Work Better for Everyone, now in its third edition. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.